Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the fact that as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance. Our inheritance includes present provision, provision for this life, and it also includes future provision, provision for the life to come. You have to understand what's for now and what's for the life to come. Many Christians expect God to do for them things he has not promised to do in this life, and they end up frustrated and disappointed. People don't understand the parameters of life in this fallen world, in this sin-damaged world. There's no such thing as an easy, problem-free life. Some problems can be resolved in this life, but some you just have to put up with and deal with the best you can, with the knowledge that all will be made right in the life to come. Now, let's get right to it because it's already Friday and we have a lot to cover. What we began looking at yesterday is the story of Joseph. Joseph's story is a real good example of present provision and future provision and how they work together. His story was written to give us hope and to help us understand the parameters of life in a fallen world. You know what happened to Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt. He was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit, was thrown in prison. While in prison, he interpreted some dreams for some men who worked for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. When Pharaoh had troubling dreams, no one could interpret. People remembered Joseph's dream interpretation ability and took him to Pharaoh. He interpreted the dream as the fact that a famine was coming. Joseph was put in charge of preparing for the famine, and through his program, he was able to save the lives of his own family and multitudes of people. Now, we left off yesterday examining what we can see about the parameters of life in a fallen world from Joseph's story. Bad stuff happens to people, not because God is for it or approves of it, but men have free will choice. Fallen men, Joseph's brothers, who were jealous, plotted to murder Joseph, changed their mind, sold him into slavery, and then lied to their brother, to their father about it. That event has all the handprints of Satan all over it. Fallen men made a decision to murder and lie. Well, the devil is a murderer and a liar. Fallen men, influenced by devils, made free will choices that brought trouble into Joseph's life. But God saw a way to use it. He doesn't override human choice because he knows what's going to happen before it happens. He's able to use it. We made the point yesterday that his story shows us in a lot of other stuff in the Bible as well. God does put off short-term blessing, like ending our trouble now. We often expect God to end our trouble today, and then we get mad because it doesn't happen. But he has nowhere promised that he will end your trouble today. Why? Well, number one, there's another trouble waiting for you tomorrow. And number two, he sees ways to use the troubles and hardships of life to bring eternal results. He will put off short-term blessing for long-term eternal results. He uses and maximizes the consequences of human choice for his glory and much good, even choices he doesn't approve of. But timing is involved. Had God stopped Joseph's ordeal the day it started, he wouldn't have ended up in Egypt in charge of a food distribution program. He and his family would have died in the famine that was coming. This would have thwarted the plan of redemption since Jesus came through this people group. Had God intervened when Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, he wouldn't have gone to prison. Well, it's in prison that he met the butler, who was his link to Pharaoh. Had the butler remembered Joseph sooner than 2 years, Joseph may have been released from jail, but he would have gone home without interpreting the dreams that ended up landing him second in command in Egypt. And once again, there'd have been no food distribution program. And Joseph and his family would have perished potentially in the famine. The redemptive line wiped out. Tremendous good came out of Joseph's ordeal. Not only was his own family saved from famine and the redemptive line preserved, many thousands were saved from starvation, which meant they had more time on this earth and more opportunity to come to saving knowledge of the Lord, the true God, instead of their idols. Multitudes heard about the only true God because Joseph acknowledged him throughout his adversities. I don't have time to read it, but if you read his story, Genesis 37 through Genesis 50, you will see over and over Joseph acknowledging God. During his servitude in Potiphar's house, Potiphar, who was a worshiper of the gods of Egypt, realized that Almighty God was with Joseph. Genesis 39:3 tells us that. While in jail, Joseph credited God as the one who gives accurate interpretations of dreams when he interpreted the baker and the butler's dreams, and more idol-worshipping heathens heard about the true God. Joseph also credited the Lord when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, causing the king to proclaim, "Joseph is a man who is obviously filled with the Spirit of God." Many countries came to Egypt during the famine for food. They heard about the sovereign Lord as they were told why Egypt had plenty of food and no one else did. They were told about a man who knew a God who was greater than any of the gods they knew, the true God, Almighty, Sovereign Lord. When you read Joseph's story, you find out that God never abandoned Joseph, and he had food, clothing, and shelter throughout his ordeal. God preserved him and caused him to thrive in the midst of very difficult circumstances. In Potiphar's house, he ended up being promoted. When he went to jail, he ended up being promoted. At the end of Joseph's story, we get insight into how he viewed what happened to him. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he was finally reunited with his brothers, he said to them, "You did what you did out of an evil desire. You meant what you did for evil, but God used it for good." Genesis 50:20. That's actually the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. You know what Romans 8:28 is. God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28 is found in Joseph's story. Joseph was able to say, "You meant this for evil, but God worked it for good." It's a tremendous promise to people who live in a sin-damaged world that God can take even choices that he is 100% against and cause him to serve his purposes. What did God do for Joseph? Well, number one, he worked behind the scenes and caused the choices of men to serve his purpose. Number two, God had perfect timing throughout the ordeal. He put off short-term blessing or immediate deliverance for Joseph for long-term eternal results. There are people in heaven today because of what happened. I said this yesterday. I can guarantee you, Joseph is not crying because he went to prison unjustly, or because he was sold into slavery, or because he was separated from his family for many years before they reunited. He knows it was worth it because of the eternal results that came out of it. And number three, God got Joseph through until he got him out, and he caused Joseph to flourish under very severe circumstances. And finally, God brought genuine good out of real evil, and he brought maximum glory to himself and maximum good to untold numbers of men and women as he worked out his eternal plan. That was all present provision for Joseph in the midst of a really tough circumstance that he could not pray away or move away through faith. He had to go through it. Because that's life in a fallen world, but it's not bigger than God. Now, from Joseph's story, we get insight into living in the light of unseen realities with the awareness that there's more to life than just this life. Joseph had an eternal perspective. As we pointed out earlier, Joseph continually acknowledged or praised God throughout his ordeal. To praise God means to acknowledge him by talking about who he is and what he has done, is doing, and will do. Joseph couldn't see the invisible God any more than we can. But we find out that Joseph's master, Potiphar, could see that Joseph was with God. Could see that God was with Joseph. Joseph's master, Potiphar, could see that God was with Joseph. Well, he couldn't see God. Potiphar couldn't see God any more than Joseph could or than we can. What he saw was Joseph's behavior along with the effects of Joseph's dependence on God. Joseph was a light of God in his circumstance. Friend, that's what you want to be in the midst of your circumstance, a light. Joseph lived with a conscience toward God that affected his behavior. When Potiphar's wife tried to induce him to sin with her and sleep with her, he resisted by saying, "I can't do this because it would offend Almighty God." In other words, he sought first the kingdom of God. "Not my will, God, but your will." And God took care of him. Joseph couldn't change his circumstances. He had to trust the unseen God, and praise is the language of faith. God kept Joseph by his power through Joseph's faith expressed through his continual praise. God made two promises to Joseph before his trials began. The Lord promised Joseph greatness, and he pledged to give him a homeland in Canaan. The first promise of greatness was fulfilled. Joseph was made second in command in Egypt. But the second promise was not fulfilled. Joseph never returned home to live. Now you may recall Genesis 50 verses 24 through 26 tell us that shortly before Joseph died, he told his family to carry his bones back to Canaan when they returned to their homeland, as he knew they one day would. The family was enslaved in Egypt for 400 years and finally delivered under the leadership of Moses. When they left Egypt, they did as Joseph requested. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 13. They took his bones back to Canaan with them. Now that's not just a poetic end to the story. Joseph knew his destiny didn't end when he died. He knew he was coming back to earth one day to live again. He's in heaven right now, waiting that return to earth with Jesus at the second coming. And at that time, Joseph's bones will be raised and restored to life, his body resurrected from the dead. He'll be reunited with that body, and the first place he'll stand is Canaan. Promise number two fulfilled. Joseph has an inheritance in the life to come on the new earth. Does God delight in human suffering? Of course not. But he sees it in terms of the big picture, like a parent dealing with a child who's lost a favorite toy. Even though the child's heart is truly broken, Dad recognizes that in terms of an entire lifespan, it isn't as devastating as it seems to the child in a moment. Now, I'm not comparing the loss of a loved one to the loss of a toy. I'm trying to get you to see that we have a future and a hope, a present and an eternal inheritance. Nothing can come against us that's bigger than God that won't be made right in the life.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.